Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow this year to begin, to come upon us while we are in safety and faith and peace and submission to you and protection from the shaitan and in the pleasure of the Most Merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this year such for us. Allahumma ameen. And that begs the question, what year is it? I want you to think for yourself, what year is it? And you can cheat a little bit. You have this clock here that has the Hijri calendar. But if you had to think for more than a second that it is 1446, this is the first stop. I have five stops together in this blessed day of Jum'ah, in this khutbah. Five lessons around the Hijri New Year, around the month of Muharram, around Ashura, as we are coming to the conclusion of one blessed season, the season of the Hajj, and entering into another blessed season of the holy month of Muharram. So the first lesson is, what year is it? It is 1446. What are we counting? 1,446 years since what? That is something for all of us to consider. If we had to scratch our heads for an instant about what year it is, or what we are counting from, or what is the importance of this time, that is a red flag. The first lesson, the first stop is that the people who do not know their history have no future. If we do not have a strong connection to our history, a strong relevance of the Hijri calendar, of the Hijri dates, of the sacred months, of the holidays as they come in, year out, if we don't have a strong connection to that, that is our lifeline to our identity, our connection to this legacy that we invoke in the beginning of almost all of our speeches, sending peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and followers, and that legacy that we pray to be a part of. If we do not know our history, we are in danger. For most Muslims, you have the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which itself is in gaps. Revelation, sometime in Mecca, persecution, hijrah, Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, conquest of Mecca. And the middle 23 years is missing, the majority of it. Then from there they go on to perhaps the time of the Sahaba. They know that there was four Khulafa. And then after that a question mark, until maybe Salahuddin Ayyubi. And then a question mark until the Ottoman Empire. What's that gap? What happened? How did Islam reach me and you? How did this deen develop into what we have today? If we do not know that, if we are not connected to it, two things will happen. Number one, it will be filled in by others. That gap will be filled in by others and we'll be forced to accept it because we're empty slates. And the second thing that will happen is this deen will still continue. This deen is not in danger of faltering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tasked himself to take care of it. But the baton will not be passed by us. It has been handed by the previous generations. Those who choose to take it seriously will hold on and hand it on to the next generation. It will happen. Whether me and you have a role in it, whether me and you will be relevant, will be significant in the legacy of this deen, in the perseverance of these principles, is a choice we have to make. And that begins with knowing our history, being in line with our holy dates, being in line with at least our calendar. That is why Umar radiallahu anhu is the one who said it to begin with Muharram. And he is the one who said it to begin from the Hijrah, because he wanted everyone to know this is when everything changed for this ummah. This is when the history of this ummah truly started. Because other options were laid before him. They told him, choose the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, choose Ramadan, choose the day that revelation began. And it was Ali radiallahu anhu's suggestion that he should choose the Hijrah because of how significant the change that occurred for this ummah's legacy, the beginning of its history. And Umar agreed. He wanted us to commemorate that every single year. The stories that resulted in this deen reaching me and you centuries later. What share of it do you know? What share of it do me and you share with our children? Connect them with. That is the first point. That is something we should all ask ourselves. The second point out of five is that Muharram is a sacred month. In its very meaning, it means that which has been made sacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, willed to make the advent of the year one of the sacred months. Not just one of the sacred months, but one of the most sacred of the four sacred months. Where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The most sacred or the most rewarding, the most virtuous of fasting is the fasting that you do in this month. The month of Muharram. That we are now about 2 weeks in. And it was narrated about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would not fast any month in its entirety except Ramadan, and the closest two that he would come to fasting, all of them were Muharram and Sha'ban. And the reason for that, as he mentioned in another hadith, when a man came to Ali radiallahu anhu and asked him, which month should I fast, should I devote to fasting after Ramadan? And he said, I didn't hear anyone else ask this question except one man who once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him this same question. Which month should I fast after Ramadan? Which month should I devote to fasting besides Ramadan? And he replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتَ صَائِمًا بَعْدَ شَهْرَ رَمَضَانِ فَصُمُ الْمُحَرَّمِ. If you're going to choose a month to devote to fasting besides Ramadan, choose this month. Why? What is the significance? What is the merit? فَإِنَّهُ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ يَوْمٌ تَابَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَيَتُوبُ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. Because it is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In it is a day that he accepted the repentance of people, and he will continue to accept the repentance of others. It is a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. He wanted you to start off the year with forgiveness. New year, new you, for real. Not because of some meaningless party or shooting off some fireworks or doing what people do weekend in, weekend out anyway. No, because you begin by starting over a new leaf that we will all face 1445 on the Day of Judgment. It will be a folder that we're all handed, a book that we will all read. And this is the time to analyze and say, 1445, is it in the green or is it in the red? What do I have to atone for? What do I have to be thankful for? What commitment to Allah must I renew in this year? What broken promises do I have to mend? Because he would stand in front of the people, Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who set this calendar, and he would tell them, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Put yourselves into account. Take yourselves into this account before it's taken upon you. Because today is deeds without accountability, and tomorrow is accountability without deeds. There will be no rectification. There'll be no overtime. And the Muslim that does this year in and year out will fare through it successfully. We'll be okay. That we cannot allow time or holy seasons to pass by us heedlessly. So it was a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are doing well, for those who are taking advantage of these opportunities, this is a chance to put the brick on the gas pedal, to do even more, not just for Ashura, which has already passed, but for the entirety of the month. For those who are struggling, progress in, progress out, they're cyclical in their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your chance to advance even further forward. This is your chance to fix that cycle, to push it into the green for a bit so that this year can start off on a high. That you don't just wait for Ramadan. You start off high from now, trying to renew your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's even a message for those who don't care, for those who are uninvolved. For those that holy season comes in and out and they're unaware, oblivious, heedlessly indulging, Muharram is for you as well. A man came to Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, one of the worst, who is the son of the absolute worst. He came to him and he said, Ashura ma amruh. What is the deal with Ashura? What is the deal with this holy day and this holy month of Muharram all by itself? And he said, أذنبت قريش في الجاهلية ذنبا فتعاظم في صدورهم. Quraysh lived a way of life, a sinful way of life, a criminal way of life before Islam. And that was a big deal in their chest. They couldn't just brush it under the rug. They couldn't just go in and day out knowing what they've done. They regretted it. And so they asked, how can we repent? How can we make amends? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, revealed to them, fast the day of Ashura. devote yourself in these holy seasons, Allah will forgive you. So it is even for the people who are unaware, who are uninvolved. And that brings us to the third point, which is like every holy season, it has a focal point, and that focal point was on Tuesday, the day of Ashura. And just because it has passed and the fasting opportunity has passed us doesn't mean that the rest of the month is void of opportunity for fasting or that we can't still extract the lessons. And we'll talk about it a little bit more tonight, inshallah, in our gathering. But the point of Ashura is it's a day of gratitude. He saw the Jews fasting in Medina and he told them, why are you fasting? They said, out of gratitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day saved Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam, drowned Fir'aun, saved Nuh alayhi salam. And he said, we have more of a priority over them than you because of our connection to their way of life, their actual teachings. But the point here is that they said it was out of gratitude. Because when we are blessed with something, we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gratitude through two main ways. The first is that you initiate a new act of worship. So let me ask you this, and let us ask ourselves, 1445, what blessing new came into your life? A new blessing or a renewed blessing? Was it a new child, a new job, a new home, a new car? Make a list of that. And each one better have a new act of worship in 1446 that you didn't do before to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're grateful. A new ritual, a new recurring ritual that you add to your regimen to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm grateful for this new blessing that I didn't have in the previous year. And the second way is that you use that same blessing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't use it to disobey Him. Don't use it as a distraction. Don't let it distract you, allow you to become heedless. Make sure that that very blessing, that very car, that very child, that very home has a utility, a benefit that the Muslims see that you devote for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some form or some fashion. The day of Ashura is a day of victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the believers victory with Nuh alayhi salam, with Musa alayhi salam. And that begs the question for us, what new victory will 1446 bring to this ummah? What are we expecting? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make 1446 a year of victory for the Muslims in Palestine, a year of victory for the Muslims in Sudan, a year of victory for the Muslims in Yemen, a year of victory for the Uyghur Muslims, a year of victory to the Muslims who have been long waiting for it worldwide, entrenched in darknesses for decades. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the year 1446 the illumination of their situations. Allahumma ameen. The day of Ashura is a day of repentance, a day of forgiveness. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, it is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam. That after he sinned and he was distressed and alone for over a week in fear, in anxiety, as many of us experience at the end of the sin, in guilt, in trepidation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to see us like that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the distress that we're in and sends us opportunities after opportunity like Muharram. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Adam received words from Allah. It was revelation from Him that caused Adam to repent and know what to say, know how to apologize. And that invitation is for every single one of us. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah in Lata'if al-Ma'arif on the entry of this day, the day of Muharram and the day of Ashura, the month of Muharram and the day of Ashura, he says, is this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam these words to repent to him, to accept his repentance. وَكَتَبَ عُمَرْ بْنَ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ إِلَى الْأَمْصَارِ كِتَابًا. And Umar ibn Aziz used to send these words as a letter to the governors of the cities to recite amongst the populace. Announce it in these seasons. Tell the people to follow the example of their forefather Adam alayhi salam. قُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ أَبُوكُمْ آدَمْ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Say as your forefather Adam alayhi salam said in these days, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we oppressed ourselves in this past year. We did it to ourselves. We transgressed. And if you do not forgive us and show us mercy, we will be the losers. وَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالْ نُوحٍ. And say as Nuh alayhi salam said, وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you do not forgive me, show me mercy, I'll be of the losers. And say as Musa alayhi salam said, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي. Oh Allah, I oppressed myself this past year, so forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so he forgave him. He said, say as Yunus alayhi salam said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. There is no God except you. I was amongst the oppressors. I did wrong. I fell short. I transgressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. Because he said, اعتراف المذنب بذنبه مع الندم عليه توبة مقبولة. For the sinner to acknowledge their sin with regret is a sign of accepted repentance, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا عسى الله أن يتوب عليهم. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said, those who have mixed between the deeds, between good and evil, they've made a cocktail of their lives. They fell short. They've been through the circuit. Those that have mixed between the good and evil in their lives, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repent upon them. Perhaps He will show them mercy, despite the mix of what they have to present before Him. It is likely He's telling you that He will forgive you. And He chose to put this entry here at the beginning of the year, because it should be a new year and a new you. One of the righteous was seen in a dream and asked about his state in the hereafter. And he said, Allah forgave me 60 years of sin for my fast on Ashura. Why not you? Why can't 1446 be your year? It's a decision and a choice that you make now. And that is the fourth point that Ashura teaches us, which is there's no such thing as chosen people. He encountered the Jews and he asked them, why do you fast this day? They said, out of gratitude, out of following the legacy of Nuh and Musa alayhi salam. And he said, we have more of a priority over the both of them than you. Because chosen people is not about the color of your skin, not about your ethnicity, not about the country you come from, not about your name, not even about your religion. Being the chosen people is about choosing to do the right thing. It's a choice you make, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to. He guides you when you make that decision, that choice, to do the right thing, to believe, to persevere, to act, to commit, to repent, to change. When you make that choice, He chooses you. It's not something you take for granted. It is not something you're entitled to. It is something that could be pulled out from underneath your feet based on the wrong choice. So he clearly told them that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has nothing to do with ethnicity or who you are. But we have more of a priority, more of a right to these people, because we choose to follow their legacy while they don't. That is the differentiating factor. So do not take it for granted. Do not enter 1446 with the assumption that you'll be entitled to anything that we just mentioned. The victory, the gratitude, the commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a choice you make now in the beginning of the year, and you commit to the coming months and for the rest of your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us to be of those who commit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforce our hearts and our actions. Wa kullu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum fastaghfiru innahu ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد السابق للخلق نوره والرحمة للعالمين ظهوره عدد من مضى من خلقك ومن بقي ومن سعد منهم ومن شقي صلاة تستغرق العد وتحيط بالحد صلاة لا غاية لها ولا انتهاء ولا أمد لها ولا انقضاء صلاة دائمة بدوامك وعلى آله وصحبه كذلك والحمد لله على ذلك. The fifth and final point that Muharram and Ashura teach us is the end of all tyrants. That this faith didn't come to be a personal ritual that me and you devote ourselves to in our personal spaces, in our houses of worship, in our communities, and a full stop. That every single oppressor, every single propagator of injustice, of harm to others, should sleep uncomfortably knowing that Islam is out there. Because in its core, it comes to challenge these systems and these oppressors. That the rituals and the devotion and the spirituality are components of a greater belief, a greater concept. Islam is all-encompassing. And it has come to challenge those who made systems besides it. For those who choose to oppress others, for those who choose to subjugate others through their own beliefs, their own personal whims and desires. And that is the story of Fir'aun. It's a lengthy story that we don't have the time to do in a khutbah or one sitting. It's the most mentioned story in the whole Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, your first job, أخرج قومك من الظلمات إلى النور وذكرهم بأيام الله. Take your tribe, take your people out of the darkness to the light, this faith, this purpose, everything that we've been talking about. And remind them of the days of Allah, the holidays, the special times of devotion and submission. But what after that is his main mission? اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Pharaoh, he has transgressed all bounds. He has passed all limits. That is your job as the Muslim. You are the carrier of that legacy. The baton is in your hands to challenge oppression, to challenge injustice, that it is part of the very fabric of your faith from day one. What are you doing about it? The world is dark. The world is a mess. What are you doing about it? With your wealth, with your time, with the causes that you choose to amplify, with your physical body. Those calling out in pain from injustice, what is your role in it all? It's not an option. It's not in your free time. It's not if you're interested. This is a fundamental part of our faith, that Islam is the end of all tyrants, the end of all oppression. And more important actually than the oppression of the world and the governments and the rulers that most of our minds go to when we talk like this, is that you don't be a mini Fir'aun in your home. You don't be a mini Fir'aun in your community. That whatever authority or power or wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you favor by bestowing you with, you don't use to oppress others. You don't use to take that which you have no right to take. You do not use it to deny the rights of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them these rights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instill in this ummah the courage, the fortitude, the faith to confront oppression in our own lives, from ourselves, from our own, and all over the world, making us a force of justice for the Muslim ummah. Allahumma ameen.